Welcome back to Toby Talk episode 42. I am your host, Dom, and I am with one of our former guests and now Lionheart summer intern, Safa.
Hey. So before we get started, I have Toby's tip of the month for all of our Lionheart members. Don't forget to log your hours as soon as you complete them. That way you can prevent any future confusion and errors.
And also, Lionheart has been nominated for Nonprofit of the Year by the Greater Irvine Chamber. And we are so thrilled and honored to be nominated amongst many amazing businesses and individuals in Irvine. So follow the link in our Instagram bio to find out more about this exciting news.
Please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is @LionsHeartService. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Toby Talk podcast on your favorite platform. You can visit our Anchor FM page for all the available platforms, like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Or just follow the link in our Instagram bio.
And this week's guest on Toby Talk is David Droll, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Hope Beyond Bridges in Houston, Texas. The organization's mission is to restore hope to the homeless by meeting spiritual, emotional, and physical needs because a bridge is not a home.
The priorities of Hope Beyond Bridges are to build and maintain meaningful relationships, community partnerships, and ministry outreach to those hurting, hungry, and homeless under bridges, in camps, or along the streets and highways of Houston, Harris, and Montgomery counties. Their philosophy is based on the principle, they don't care what you know until they know you care.
Awesome. Thanks, Safa. So let's get to the interview with David. All right, guys, I'm here with David. Please introduce yourself, give a little bit of your journey into founding and be the executive director with Hope Beyond Bridges and your journey to where you are now.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Dominic, to be a part of the podcast today. My journey started about 11 years ago. I went on my very first mission trip, and it was outside of the U.S. to a place called Guanajuato, Mexico, which is up in the mountains, and spent 7 days learning what it meant to do door-to-door evangelism. So that was probably the most uncomfortable I had ever been in my life, ever. And came back, and I was involved with a young adults group. And we put together another mission trip in December of that year to Zaragoza, Mexico, reaching out to some border towns right inside Mexico along Christmas. And it was during that mission trip where I really just felt like God was I had this desire in my heart to go into to become a missionary, a full-time missionary. But I was recently divorced. I had a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old son, and I knew that I had a responsibility to him as his father. And so the idea of going to another country as a missionary was not a possibility. And so returned home. And at that point, I had recently transitioned from, I had been in cardiac medicine for 15 years, and it just transitioned into cardiac sales. And so I was driving all over around Houston, and just over the next several months, just really started noticing all of the homeless on the street corners and at the stop signs and under the bridges and different homeless camps here and there that I've never noticed before. You know, driven these same roads many times and never noticed before. And as I started to notice them more, I realized that God started to work on my heart and just gave me a heart of compassion and empathy toward them. And just kind of shared this with two buddies of mine. And we took a weekend and went fishing and just prayed and sought out what God was calling us to do. And by the end of the weekend, we had the name, the logo, the mission and the vision of what has now become Hope Beyond Bridges.
That's wonderful. So what is the mission of your organization? What is the vision from what you started it? What was the vision when you first started with your friends for Hope Beyond Bridges? And what is your vision for the future of Hope Beyond Bridges?
Well, so when we started, the original mission statement was written very broad to allow the other two guys that that started the ministry with me to, to do some things that were geared toward women and children. And the other one, the other guy had just a passion for educating children, specifically around childhood obesity. And so for the first 3-4 years, it was a very broad mission statement, which ultimately we refined down to our current mission and vision of and focus specifically on homeless outreach and ministry. So our current mission is to restore hope to the homeless through developing lasting relationships and sharing the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And so our vision is, you know, we envision a day when homelessness has been eradicated throughout, you know, the greater Houston area. And then as, you know, we move forward, our focus has really been for our ministry has been, you know, for those that are national, they won't necessarily understand the locale, but our focus has been outside of the 610 loop to the periphery, or to the suburbs, if you will, because there's a lot of ministries and agencies and organizations that were doing great things for the homeless inside what's called the loop around Houston, but nobody was really addressing the needs outside, and that's where we really felt like God was calling us. And so our hope and our prayer is that one day we will have partnerships and serving teams that are going out circumferentially around the city of Houston every Saturday to meet the needs. And our focus is on building the relationships. So it's not about, you know, hitting them over the head with the Bible saying, you know, you're a sinner, turn away, but to build relationships with them over time, meaning felt needs of food and clothing and hygiene, and just loving on them right where they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a very big positive thing, and extending it beyond the loop, as you say. So in the greater Houston area, I know that there have been a lot of things that affected, like, natural disasters such as Hurricane Harvey. How has that affected your ministry and your organization's ability to offer assistance to the homeless in the area?
Well, so Hurricane Harvey created a whole new population of homeless people, and we dove in. So our ministry operates by partnering with local churches in the areas where we're serving, and so we partnered with those same churches and with other great organizations like World Vision to be able to bring in building materials and supplies and appliances and all sorts of like food and water and you know, other basic necessity items into the area. And we, like, we ran a disaster relief shelter for about 3 months after. Then we partnered with one of our other church partners, and they've run a distribution center for rebuilding with a focus on rebuilding homes, you know, mucking them out and then rebuilding them back to sheetrock. So, you know, plumbing, insulation, sheetrock, paint. And then, I mean, we had furniture donated. We had cabinets donated, appliances donated, all these different things that have come together as a community and as partnerships among ministry and churches and businesses in the area to help restore the lives of a lot of the individuals affected by Hurricane Harvey. From the homeless, what we call the chronic homeless population that we serve on a weekly basis, it was, you know, drastically diminished from, you know, the from Hurricane Harvey through, you know, January, February, and the numbers have slowly started to come back up. There was a lot of federal resources in town that they were able to take advantage of, you know, for a limited time, and as those have been exhausted, they, you know, they tend to return back to their normal street corners, if you will. So,
and that's where you guys come in. coming out to help. And I know you mentioned the Vision for the Future is every Saturday that you guys go out and help the homeless community. Is your volunteer opportunities daily or weekly, or how does it work with you guys going out?
Yeah, so we have, so every Saturday is when we go out. Now, occasionally we'll have other opportunities during the week, but the bulk of what we do with volunteers would be on Saturdays.
Okay.
And again, it's handled through our website. They're able to sign up. They'll come out, and they can either cook or they can go out and serve. And, I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal when kids come out. So, I mean, we allow as small as 7 years old up to, and then say if they're junior high, then, you know, a parent needs to be with them. But if they're high school age, then they can just come. You know, the parents can drop them off or they can drive and come and go out without any. We have a leader with each route that goes out, and then six or five volunteers. So five volunteers and a leader in each of the vehicles that go out. And so we strategically have small serving teams so as to not overwhelm the folks that we're serving, as well as I'm very cognizant of I don't want a volunteer to ever come out and feel like they weren't needed. We're not looking for wallflowers. We want, you know, everybody has a job that they can do while we're out serving, and so we want everybody involved in hands-on serving.
Absolutely. And what kind of experiences can youth get out of going to volunteer with Hope Beyond Bridges, or even families coming out to get involved, since you allow all ages?
Yeah, sure. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, there's a misconception about the homeless. There's a misconception of, you know, there's that it's very dangerous. And although there are situations where it could be dangerous. For the most part, again, we've been doing ministry. We're in our 11th year of doing ministry. We've never had any issues, violence or with assault or with you know, anything like that out on the streets. They are very receptive. They are very gracious. Appreciate the help that we give them. So I think getting out of your comfort zone. And being able to see the needs outside of like your normal environment, you know, where we live is north of Houston, and so there's a lot of people that drive the major freeways going into downtown to work, and we're actually driving the access roads or the feeder roads alongside the major freeways. And so, you know, one of the things we tell volunteers is that Houston is a totally different city when you're driving on the access roads versus driving on the freeway, because you just don't see it. And so I think their eyes are opened a lot to you know, some of the feedback that we hear from the youth is just how grateful for that they are for the things that they have or that God's provided for them. But also they're amazed at the level of authenticity that they, you know, in interacting with our homeless friends, as well as the gratefulness and thankfulness that they have, you know, in responding to, you know, them coming out to serve them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always a very empathetic experience, you know, helping those that are less fortunate than yourself, especially as a young teen or even a young child, being able to see that and you realize, oh wow, like my world revolves around me and my, you know, the four walls of my house or the four walls of my school and, you know, my friends. And like you said, it's like the same thing as you're kind of driving along the highway of life and you don't see anything on the side of the road because you're going so fast and you're just paying attention to yourself. But once you get off that road and you see everything around you and you realize, oh wow, I can do something to help this. That's always a huge eye-opening and, I guess, awakening experience, especially for a young child, which is why, you know, here at Lions Heart, we want those teens and the kids in the area to get out and experience those things and, you know, get those feelings of empathy and develop those feelings and passion. He said, hey, I can do something, and I can make a difference, even though I am a young child. I can do something, whether it's serving food.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Going off of that.
Absolutely.
Going off of that, do you have any particular volunteering stories or experiences that are especially inspirational to yourself, whether it's your own personal experiences of volunteering or serving, or it can even be a person that has been served by Hope Beyond Bridges?
Well, we have, you know, we have a lot of, we're about to launch our new website, in about 2 weeks. And we have, a new section that we've added on there is testimony. And some are testimonies from folks that we've helped, and some are testimonies from volunteers, that have volunteered with us. And so, we have, about the same amount of testimonies from both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, the volunteers really connect with the idea of serving, but then also just how their heart has changed, how their outlook has changed, how their judgments about the homeless have changed as you get to know them. You know, one of the things we tell the volunteers is that there is significant power in a name. Mm-hmm. Right. And so being able to meet them and call them by name and, you know, instead of, hey, man, how are you doing? You know, hey, Ronnie, what's going on, man? How are you doing today? You know, knowing, you know, speaking to them by name, there's tremendous power in that. But as far as success stories, there's two in particular that stick out to me. Mm-hmm. And one involves a young woman. She was 24 at the time. She called me on a Sunday and said, hey, I'm 8.5 months pregnant and I'm on the street and I have nowhere to go. And so, you know, we kind of mobilized, our volunteers and were able to, put her into a host home environment, got her connected with, a physician who works with our ministry. An OBGYN who works with our ministry, and as we talked and prayed and counseled with her, you know, she had decided that she wanted to give the baby up for adoption, and so we connected her with a ministry that handles adoptions, and introduced her to a couple that had been, you know, been trying to have children for 2 years, had gone through infertility and was not successful, and had a desire to adopt. And just through prayer and through the meetings and working with these other ministries, mm-hmm. you know, 2 months, I guess she was 7.5 months pregnant. So a month later, the baby was born, and they were able to adopt this child. I'd love to say that the success story was that, you know, that she too is off the streets, but unfortunately she has bipolar and probably a little bit of paranoid schizophrenia and would not take her meds and would not make the right choices and decisions that would help lead her off the streets. But I can tell you that child, is not on the streets and is in a loving home. And I think he just celebrated his third birthday, in October, of last year. We're just, you know, kind of blown away by his story and his life and how it will forever be changed. The other one, has to do with a young man from Michigan,
okay.
who wound up coming down to the Houston area to, you know, his words were to get away from the drugs and alcohol and his friends back home.
Mm-hmm.
So he came down here, and he was a motivated guy. Like he had signed up for HVAC school. But for whatever reason, he didn't get all the financial aid that he was expecting. And so he had registered for school, but he had no place to live. So he was literally living on the streets. And as a lot of times it happens, the longer you stay on the streets, the more susceptible you are to the activities around you. Mm-hmm. And so he started drinking and he started doing drugs and he started, you know, spiraling, and he really connected with one of our volunteers. And just through a series of events and conversations, you know, he agreed to come off the streets and go into treatment. So we got him into a residential treatment facility through one of our ministry partners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wound up, you know, being successful, getting off the streets, finishing his school, and is now, you know, one of my primary volunteer leaders on the third Saturday. So,
wow.
You know, he's turned around and comes back out now and serves with us. And he connects with them in a way that, like, I never could, you know, because he's been there and he's walked that road. Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's a wonderful story, but wonderful stories, I should say, about what you guys are able to provide to those who do need it the most. And especially, it goes back to you saying, you know, forming those relationships with the people around you that, you know, it's easy to remember. It's nice to remember their name or even shake their hand, you know, but they don't get that courtesy like most people do very often, I'm sure, in public from, you know, the average bystander walking by them on the street. But, you know, having that, being able to build that relationship and then having that gentleman come back and also build relationships with the people around him that, you know, he's able to say, hey, you know, I was in your shoes and look where I'm at now. I'm able to look back on all the negative that happened, but now in a positive step, I found a way to get out of that hole, found a way to, you know, take my life, turn it around, and I want to help you do the same thing. And that's another thing that speaks just volumes to what you guys are doing down in Houston. So David, I was curious as well, where did the name Hope Beyond Bridges come from?
Well, so originally our ministry name was 45 and Hope. Mm-hmm. Because we were aligned along, our main ministry was along 45, which is one of the major freeways in Houston.
Okay.
And, as we grew, as our ministry grew over the years, you know, we started outreach in different areas of Houston. And so we weren't just along I-45 anymore. And so, we came up with the name of Hope Beyond Bridges because mm-hmm. it will encompass all the different areas that we, want to serve in circumferentially around Houston.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Wonderful. Well, that's good to know then.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right. And lastly, do you have any pieces of advice, David, that you would like to share for anyone looking to volunteer in their community or, in your case, start their own nonprofit organization?
Well, I think for most folks these days, especially the youth, Google is a very good friend.
Yes.
We partner with an organization called Volunteer Connection,
mm-hmm.
Which I think, I'm not sure if it's national, but I know it's locally in the Houston area, where you can search, you know, different areas. You can search by age, you know, if it's family friendly, if it's kid friendly, if it's, you know, different parameters and stuff that you can sort by,
mm-hmm.
And it will show you a list of opportunities. So if your passion or desire is homeless, then you can search for homeless. If your passion and desire is animals, then you can search for animals or children or, you know, if you reading or literacy, you know, but you can search by whatever parameters you want, to be able to find, kind of what piques your interest.
Cool. Yeah. It's kind of like a volunteer match. I know that's like the big one as well. Nationally.
Yeah.
At least,
or yeah. That's another one.
Yeah. So that's the big one. So cool. All right. Well, that's good to know for looking for Houston stuff, but okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate having you on today.
Oh, not a problem, Dominic. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, awesome. Thank you again, David, for coming on to the podcast. I really enjoyed speaking with you about your organization, and I'm sure our listeners are going to really enjoy your interview. Also, please don't forget to subscribe and listen to the Toby Talk podcast on your favorite platform. You can visit our Anchor FM page for all the available platforms, or just follow the link in our Instagram bio for more information. And for all of our Lionheart members, please don't forget to wear your Lionheart t-shirt while volunteering and tag us at Lionheart Service when posting photos of your volunteer activities on social media. We would love to share the amazing things you are all doing, so please tag us so we can see your posts and keep up all the great work. Well, that is all for us on this week's episode of Toby Talk. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate you following along each week. And until next time, don't forget to always think of others before yourself. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
So your jeans are ripped. There's souls needing to be mended. It's not hard to help the less fortunate, even though you're still a kid. And straighten your spine with your lion's heart. You can change people's minds.